It is time for the first time in about a month for Stroman on Sports. Delighted to have back on the air Dr. Deborah Stroman. She's a UNC faculty member, a University of Virginia professor, sports businesswoman, and former coach, former player. She does a little bit of everything, including returning from a long extended trip to Africa, which we're excited to hear about at a different time when we have even more time to discuss it. Dr. Deborah Stroman, thank you so much for joining us once again. How on earth are you?
I am doing well. I did have a wonderful trip all the way across the world, and I'm very, very glad to be back in the United States, so appreciative of what we have in this country, and also continue to be mesmerized, inspired by what is going on in the continent of Africa, in particular in Benin. But it's good to be home.
Well, it is certainly good to have you back, and there's a lot to catch up on, but kind of want to start with some of the more topical stuff. You know, we're into baseball regionals, the NBA finals have started, but when it comes to Carolina sports, the UNC men's golf team, I think it's fair to say, is one of the most competitive programs that just wrapped up its season, had a very high placing in the NCAA championships, and that team continues to be on the rise. And college golf is also kind of in the wider sports discussion right now because one of its superstars, Rose Zhang of the Stanford women's golf team, just announced that she's leaving after her sophomore year to turn pro, and she's playing in a professional event right now. She shot -2 on Thursday, went straight from the end of the college season into the pro circuit, and seems like she's off to a great start. And Deb, she seems to be a fascinating story because not only did she leave after her sophomore season, she's 20 years old, but she is incredibly, incredibly decorated.
No doubt. And I'm so glad that we're talking about golf. For my own selfish reasons, I started learning the game and then actually taught the game a bit. Being in financial services for a number of years, I saw a lot of my male buddies leaving the office early or not even coming in on Friday because they were going to play golf. And I said, there's something to this. It's more than just hitting that little white ball and the competitiveness there. It's the sport of business. And I quickly learned that and got addicted. And so to be blessed to move to North Carolina, which is golf country, and I think that starts and ends with Pinehurst, but certainly to see the UNC men's golf team back being a powerhouse. And I know the women's team has had a lot of success over the years and continue to support them. But looking at Rose Zhang, she is very, very compelling. Certainly her age, certainly, as you mentioned, winning so much, including back-to-back NCAA titles. And so as her coach says at Stanford, Ann Walker, she says she's the GOAT. She's the best amateur of all time. So many people are tuning in. And I think with people still looking for something to make more people turn to golf since Tiger is no longer who he used to be, I think this is another reason why people are going to tune in to find out what is going to happen with Rose Zhang in her career.
Well, you mentioned Tiger Woods there. It does make sense to have them in the same breath because Zhang and Woods are tied for the most wins in Stanford golf history with 11 each. And Zhang just became the first woman to win the NCAA individual title twice just earlier this year, and immediately then jumped into the pro circuit despite having obviously some time left in college for a traditional student. But based on her play, it's clear that she is anything but. But, you know, we've kind of been talking about this in the NIL perspective, Deb, of how, you know, does it make sense for these college athletes, these younger folks to have this connection to money and all of that stuff? It's kind of different for golf, isn't it? Because it's all about if you can play well enough, you are going to be directly paid. And there's not really that same kind of contract or trade of services that you would see for basketball players, football players, soccer. Golf is kind of a different beast in that way.
Well, there's so many angles to take a look at that, but you're absolutely right. I think some of these country club sports, we call them, we allow a person at any age to go live their dream, to try to make it to the next level. Zhang actually started playing golf at age 9. And certainly when you've been playing that long, and I strongly, strongly believe, not that other sports don't have this, but muscle memory is so important with golf. Once you get that basic fundamental stroke down, and of course, as you continue to progress and get better and better, you're going to tweak. But there's you can just go out there and just be so confident. You might not make the best shot that you really want at that time, but you're going to be close when you play the game over and over. In fact, it's been said when you want to talk to C-suite level people, VIPs, the best time to catch them is actually on the golf course. Now, out of all the things that they have to do, very hectic schedules, you know, hard to get appointments with them, it's interesting that their handicap, as in their scoring, actually gets better and better. So what does that say? They're doing a lot of the work on the golf course, and I mean having meetings, closing deals, and all of that. So getting out there and playing over and over again, which Rozang has done, I think she's going to have that target on her back. And certainly playing the way she's playing right now, you know, with the first championship, it looks like she's going to be really, really competitive. One point I want to make, just looking up some numbers around, you know, being so young and what does that mean? The average and median age for major champions for men is age 32. But the average age of women's top 20 is 26 years old. For men, it's like 32, 33 years old. For there's something about taking advantage of that window while you are young as a woman to win championships. So it's going to be a really, really interesting storyline to follow.
Well, I'm sure there are so many reasons to dig into that as well. As is the case, anytime we see somebody this good, there's almost always going to be people who are trying to cut them down in some form or fashion for whatever their motivations. I'm curious, Deb, if someone came up to you and said, I don't know if this was the right decision for Zhang at this time. She's still so young. She could have stuck around in college. What would you say to folks who would argue that it was maybe too soon for her to make the jump to the pros?
Well, I learned a long time ago, learned and put my words together on that one. If you have a 17-year-old, if you have a 20-year-old and they're trying to be an engineer, a computer analyst, if they're trying to start their musical career, and someone who was established, an employer that has been in business for more than 25, 50 years, a multi-million dollar business, a billion dollar business, and they asked you to leave school or not even to enroll, and they're going to give you a six-figure income with possible bonuses and give you time to go back to school, or now with technology, to go to school online while you work for them, I would think that 99% of the people in America would sign up for that. And that's what's happening with these young people. You know, in the days where you had to be in person, you had to, I guess the best way to maximize your socialization, as in learning how to be an adult, adulting, in the old days, that generally happened for most of us on a college campus. The time period is very, very special. And I'm not saying that that has changed at all. But today, there are ways that you can do adulting and learn how to be a good citizen, to learn how to play fair and engage. And there are other ways to do that. And so I say it is great for Rose and others to take advantage of that. Provided that you have that support structure and you have people who stay in your head around making sure that you do maximize the academics and get to know other people, networking, all those things that happen in an undergraduate career in college.
We've gotten just a couple minutes left with Dr. Deborah Strowman, and we couldn't bring you back for the segment during the NBA Finals and not save a little bit of time to talk hoops here. So it's the Miami Heat making a pretty incredible run as an 8 seed all the way to the finals, now meeting the Denver Nuggets, who have kind of steamrolled over everyone and have Nikola Jokic, who's just playing at such an incredibly high level in this postseason, but has been all season. Deb, do you think that Miami has any sort of chance here? They went down 1-0 to the Nuggets in the opening game on Thursday. Next game will be on Sunday. The Heat certainly have, you know, been able to ride the underdog story this whole way, but will the Nuggets end up being too good for them, you think?
I think they will, but I am a strong believer in the Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra coaching and culture. But with that being said, you can't teach hype. And in the NBA, you can't teach height with a certain skill set. Denver has it all. I think size is going to make the difference in this finals. Jokic or Joker. He is 7 foot tall and 285 pounds. Gordon is 6 foot eight, 235 pounds. Porter, 6'10", 220 pounds. That's their front line. So to give people perspective, some of you might remember the great Julius Peppers, football star, and he actually played basketball as well for the Tar Heels, a massive man. Julius Peppers was 6'7 and about 295, 300 pounds. He's like another Joker, but yet Joker's a little taller. So Miami doesn't have the type of strategy. They don't have the type of players where they put a lot of pressure on the rim. Their game is not built for post scoring. And so they have to figure that out on offense and on defense. And when you've got the Joker playing point guard, he's got great vision, so he can see over people and he just makes the right pass. I believe that Miami will win at least two games, but I just think Denver is the stronger team.
I think a lot of people are kind of falling into that camp as well, just because of how good Jokic has been. And it's not even necessarily Miami's offense has got to work it out around that size, too. It's just that Denver's offense has been so good. You question whether the Heat's offense will be able to keep up whatsoever. As I mentioned, game two of the NBA Finals is going to be on Sunday. We've got hopefully some more time to talk about that between now and our next Stroman on Sports segment with Dr. Deborah Stroman. Deb, great to have you back on the air, and thanks as always for chatting with us on this great Friday.
Thank you. Go Heels.